Thanks, Snow. I'll call you up to help me pray at the end. Who'd like some impartation and some prayer at the end today? Yeah, absolutely. We're full to overflowing. I feel like God took us to this great, incredible, as far as the eye can see, smorgasbord, and just said, okay, have a feast. And that's how it was. And so this morning, I feel like I have come here with platters, and I'm going to lay them before you, and I'm just going to trust you to pick up what you want from the platters and just array them as you would on your plate. Take what you want, take what you feel like, because how could I possibly, every single one of these messages is a message in its own right. So what I've taken this morning are the highlights that I feel, and it's taken a number of hours to try to do this, the highlights that I feel really pertain to us as a church, as a nation, and I'll get on with it. Anyway, take what you want and leave what you don't. So what did we have? I was invited over to represent New Zealand in the Global Prophetic Consultation, it's called. Followed on from that was the Global Prophetic Summit, which is, so the consultation is a bit like we have here. We have the prophetic roundtable here where we gather prophets from around the nation. There it's the prophets that lead the roundtables in the different nations come together with some apostles and bishops to be able to hear what God is saying on a global sphere. So that was what I was invited into. So I'm wearing this sweatshirt because New Zealand is there, listed, okay? New Zealand is there. And it was, there we are, above the Dominican Republic. So we were there, we were listed amongst the prophets of the globe. And I was in there. They were closed meetings. There was no videoing to be done. There was no live streaming to be done. What I'm telling you now, right this moment, is safe for me to share. But there were many people who came in who lead within the Middle East, who Cindy Jacobs herself was not sure whether they were going to be able to make it in or not. So we were privy to a lot of information, inside information about what's actually going on in the nations. And you would hear these prophets share, and then the whole room would go into intercession. So it was like 2 days of 9 a.m. through to 10 p.m. of sharing, prayer, sharing, prayer. It was the most glorious prayer meeting, intercession time I have been in my life. The power in the room was just, at times many of us couldn't stand. I've never been in anything like it. It was outstanding. So, there were 32 nations represented there. There were 200 national prophets, and it was outstanding. Some of the people within the international board, they have an eldership, and so some of those people are, you know, Cindy Jacobs leads it, but you've got Chuck Pierce, you've got Bishop Garlington, Bishop Hammond, people of that kind of calibre who actually, they're considered elders of the prophetic consultation. So there were 50 speakers getting into the actual conference part of it, which they call a summit. There were 50 speakers, so that's what I'm saying. I heard 36 messages. Now I might have heard more. I don't know. We both got waylaid at times in the foyer because they didn't just all go off to. They obviously had a space that was like a green room, but for a lot of time you had these bishops and prophets from the nation just mingling amongst you in the foyer. And so to get from one end of the foyer to the other, you may get one or two prophecies. You know, somebody spotted you, pointed to you in your lunch break, and then you might miss the next session because they were still prophets. I mean, it's just amazing. Just amazing. Anyway, get on with it. One of the themes, I've got notes here because I just... trying to bring this all together for you and not get lost amongst all my notes is quite something. quite a task. Anyway, one of the themes that kept getting repeated over the time were themes coming from the book of Esther and the book of Daniel. If you felt God have you reading those books at the moment, I want you to know that you are right on target. You are hitting the mark right now. Prophet after prophet after prophet was saying that God is emphasizing these two books in this key time. Chuck Pierce shared about the intensity of the days that we are living and that we can't afford to be discouraged or back from what we're seeing happening. There is an increasing of tension. That theme kept coming out, and I was particularly encouraged because some of you may have heard the word I shared before I left, because God gave me a vision of a violin and he had his hand on the peg and he was tightening it and tightening it and tightening it and tightening it, and I was terrified because within the vision I'm thinking this thing is going to break any moment, but he just kept increasing the tension. Then he said, I am bringing attention upon you because I am tuning up my instruments for this move of God. And so we weren't to fight the tension, but rather allow the Lord to just keep bringing the tension on, tuning us up. And so a lot of it is to do with our heart response in the time of the tension, okay? You don't run from it. You allow God to work in your heart and to move on you during this time. So I was really encouraged hearing that. In fact, the first four prophetic words that came out in the consultation, so that's like the round table thing, the first four words that came out were to do with convergence, and it's a convergence of time. Now, many of you will know and realize that the reason we called our conference the beginning of this year Behold the Convergence is because that's what God spoke to us. So again, very, very encouraging for us as prophets, hearing God just saying, yeah, this is what I'm saying internationally. Don't think of yourself as being small, little New Zealand at the bottom, but rather you're hearing my voice, and it's a voice, as his voice is resonating internationally. And we're on time, we're on target, we're hearing. Okay, I just want to encourage the prophets of the house. There was a lot of emphasis on walking circumspectly. Bishop Garlington really picked up on this, and he talked about he's married to a prophet. Who knows who Bishop Garlington is in the place? A number of you do, okay. Look him up. He's one of the giants, the generals. He's in his 80s, I think, now, isn't he? And Bishop Bill Hammond, he's 89, having his 90th birthday next year, which he invited all ministries to attend. And with that, he said that he would have done 70 years of ministry next year. So I'm talking about giants in the faith, these guys. And they're so full of fire. They're so full of power. They get up there. I mean, they just go like machine guns. You know, it's just, you can't write fast enough. You can't take it in quick enough. You just go, oh, Jesus, am I saved? And it's just so amazingly good. But anyway, he shared about his life of being married to a prophet, and he said he sympathized with anybody in the room who's married to a prophet. And he said that God had been speaking to him about some things, and then his wife said to him, she said, darling, there's these five things that God is emphasizing in your life that you've got to deal with. And he goes, uh-huh. And he says, I'm popping out into the garden for a bit. So he goes out into the garden, and it got hotter and hotter and hotter, and he didn't want to come in because he knew his wife had just said about these five things in his life. Finally, he said he had to come and get a drink of lemonade. So he comes into the house, and as soon as he's in the door, she goes, darling, there's these five things that God is talking to you about in your life. And he grabbed his lemonade, and he hightailed it outside again with his lemonade. And then he was out there as long as he possibly could, and he came back in, and she said, darling, there's these five things that God is talking to you about needing to deal with in your life. And so he went off up to his room, and he said, God, I really, if you're really talking to me about these five things in my life, just send some confirmation for me. And off he went to bed. Next morning, early, early, bang, 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 bang on his door. And what on earth? He goes to the door. There's three prophets standing at his door, who say to him, Bishop, God's speaking to you about these five things in your life. is we are in days where we need to walk circumspectly. God is actually commanding a level of holiness and a level of soul searching. He went into, I don't want to lose my way. God is showing us things to sort now, things that need laying down, ready for the season upon us. There is a season now where we need to get honest with God privately, or it will be exposed publicly. There's some weighty things I'm going to share with you this morning. I wouldn't be loving you well if I didn't. Okay. Chuck Pierce and Jane Hammond both in particular spoke about the significance of the Hebrew year and decade that we're in. You may know that it's in the Hebrew numbering, that this is the decade of the voice, but this year that's just started now, the Hebrew year that's just started now, is the year of the door. And so it is the season of voice-activated doors. God is supercharging prophecy, prayers, and decrees. Use this season, bring down from the heavens that which needs to be brought down. So now God is saying that there is an understanding that God has got doors. There are doors in front of us. There have been constrictions, and these doors, God, we know we've been called to go into a certain place or called to do a certain thing. God is saying that in this season, in this year, we must use our voice. It's a voice-activated door. As we use our voice, we're going to see these doors open suddenly, but we must use our voice. We must stand up, rise up to that place of authority that God has given us and use our voice. Goliath tried to fill the valley with his voice, with his narrative, filling the atmosphere with his agenda. But David prophesied right back at him. Let's have a look at that. 1 Samuel 17. Verse 42 to 47, I'm in the Amplified, if that helps. And when the Philistine looked around him and saw David, he scorned and despised him, for he was but an adolescent with a healthy reddish colour and fair face. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. I've underlined that when I looked at that again this morning. I think there's certain... anyway, I'm not going to go into it. It's another message again, but it's interesting that he cursed him by his gods. A number of the agendas that have been coming against the nation, have been coming against God's people in this day, they're actually linked in to these Philistine gods. And it's not just a battle to do with government legislation. It's actually a battle in the heavenlies. And some of this legislation, they're trying to pass it all around the world because it's a demonic agenda. It's a demonic agenda, not just a governmental agenda, but it's a demonic agenda. Well, how do you deal with a demonic agenda? You take your authority in the spirit and you address it from the spirit, which is higher than a natural governmental agenda. Okay? All right, so what does he say? So he says, the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give you flesh. I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and cut off your head, and I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves, not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So, we need to use our voice in this season of war. Esther had to take her place and find her voice, and so do we. There is a doorway into your blessing and provision, but the enemy has been trying to constrict it and threaten. Your voice is the password. Your voice is the key. We have entered the season of powerful decree. Use it now. Goliath was actually David's gate. David got into his destiny by destroying Goliath. And after that moment, David was known as the giant slayer. We are called overcomers. And it's time we identify with who we really are. You're right so far. I want to give you the heads up now, especially for every pastoral person, every person that has the gift of mercy in the house. I want to give you a heads up. There will be strong prophetic judgments that God causes to come from the apostles and the prophets in this season. They will release revelation and they will cut like a sword. We need wartime leaders in the church, not peacetime pastors. It is a season of war. That's what Nawa decreed when she came back from Israel. I mean, you were weeping before we Nawa, and you were going, it's a season of war. It's a season of war. Everything has shifted. It's a season of war. These are serious days. We can't back from the seriousness of the days. It's not going to be same old, same old. We need to realize that, take a hold of that. Even this morning, it's quite funny, but I was standing here going, man, it's hot in here. And I said to Wes, can you deal with the heater? He says, the heater's not going. And then he goes back and checks. So we're set on 25. It's hotter than we think. It's hotter than we think. We have no right to complain about the darkness. We are in the lighting business. It's time to get our military mode on as priests. William Wallace was a warrior monk. Queen Mary said, I fear John Knox's prayers more than any army. One of the greatest risks to Christians right now is us making concessions based on fear. Some of you need to hear that again. One of the greatest risks to Christians right now is us making concessions based on fear. You know, a few years ago in a dream, and I'm sure I shared it here, it was really vivid. I was taken to heaven, and in heaven I saw this room, and the Lord opened the door, and it was full of thrones. Full of thrones, just like stacked up, like the storage room as far as I could see. And I thought, what are all the thrones doing here? And I was standing there watching, and occasionally two angels would come in, and they would take a throne, and they'd take it into the throne room, and they'd rejoice as they put it in the throne room, ready for someone to sit on. We had a guy called Isaac Petrie preach to us, and he started with this. Stand up. Now I'm telling you to do it. Stand up. Everyone stand up. Now sit down. My salvation ain't complete until I take my seat. Jesus didn't come just to save us, but to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come just to get you to heaven, but to take hell out. He wants to weaponize you. God says, don't you just sit up here with me and then act like a slave. Get in position, sit in your seat, stand up. Now sit down. Cindy Jacobs got up after he'd preached and she said, this is a major chiropractic adjustment for the church. Stacey Campbell then got up and she said, we say I'm pretty good under the circumstances, but God is saying back to us, what are you doing under them? Senior pastor of the church where we met, which was Trinity Church in Houston, and that's the church. In Dallas. And that's the church that Cindy and her husband Mike Jacobs have been part of, I think they said 30-something years, anyway. He said this, I have counted at least 16 times the word alignment has been used during this summit from different speakers. We are currently in a capacity test situation. Abraham and Sarah lowered what God had promised into the natural realm to make it manageable. You need to hear that again, some of you. We are currently in a capacity test situation. Abraham and Sarah lowered what God had promised into the natural realm to make it manageable. Many of us here, God has given you promises. I think of this church. I think of the promise. I think of the vision that God showed me, the size of the church. And at the time we thought, God, about this land. And I said, God, this land. And he said, it's mine. And he said it with such a force that I fell over backwards because of the power that he slapped his hand down on this piece of land. He showed the size of the church. He showed what he wanted to do in this place with you all, with us all. We cannot afford to take things down to a manageable level just because our faith shakes at the thought of it. There are things, every single one of you here has probably had some prophetic word over your life and you've thought, this is too big for me, God. And he'll say, exactly. Exactly. It is too big for you. He's a God of miracles because that's the realm he likes to walk in and move in. Come on. We must not be standing in this season under a scarcity mindset saying we don't have enough. We must enlarge our capacity to receive. God is currently growing our capacity to be able to take hold of the promises. Bobby Connor said this statement. Some of you might want to write this down, some of you may not. Paused obedience is cloaked rebellion. Paused obedience is cloaked rebellion. God is dealing with the people-pleasing spirit. He is dealing with contamination in the church now because it's essential that it's dealt with now. God knows what's ahead. He is calling us to another level of purity, another level of consecration, another level of dedication. He is calling us because he can see what's coming. He can see what's ahead. You know, if you were in the barracks and you were down sitting on your bunk bed in the barracks as a soldier and you're just focusing on your laces being okay or getting a smudge off your shoes and you're not the commander out there seeing the enemy on the brow of the hill coming. You're not the commander out there, but the commander says, get your boots on, get your stuff strapped on, get ready, stand up, attention now. I feel that's what God is saying to us. We've been in the barracks so jolly long, we think that's the kingdom of God. We think that's the battlefield. God is saying, you have no idea what's ahead, but I do. Amen. And I've called you for such a time as this. I've equipped you. I've given you the weapons. Now get your weapons out. Sharpen them out. Get them ready. Because these are serious days. I'm finishing with this. Because this is what Cindy Jacobs finished with. She said she was crying out to God about the terrorist attacks. And God spoke back to her and said, why do you let those terrorists do that? God spoke that to her. She said, Ephesians 1:19, all authority, exceeding greatness, mighty power, far above, all things is in us and for us. Have we been fraidy cats, afraid to go to war? The news is a Christian's report card. If you don't go to war today, you might be a casualty tomorrow. The enemy has strategies for the nations. He has strategies for the Pacific Rim. The true church needs to learn to pray to shape history. Depending on how we pray will determine the outcome of our nations. And that was her closing message. We're in serious days. But we've got what we need. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. Are we standing up? Are the weapons in place? Are we ready to go to war for our families, for our nation, for our city? As I said, I received many prophetic words for myself, for Wes and I, for this church, people who knew nothing. People who knew nothing, who said things like, and I'll be sharing these properly once they're all typed out and we can work through them together, said things like, you're currently looking over plans. Men said, you've been in the tent, but it's time to move into the building. You're currently looking over plans. You know that they've got to be expandable. The building's got to be expandable because you're going to be hosting large prophetic and apostolic gatherings. And so don't build for the size of the congregation. Build for the gatherings. It's got to be expandable. People who knew nothing. A man that I FaceTimed Wes so he could prophesy over Wes, and he goes, he's never seen him. He knows nothing about him. He knew his name simply because I said, this is my husband, Wesley. He goes, you're a man of great stature. You're a builder in the natural and the spirit. God is saying this. I tell you, you wake up and take notice when people come out with details like that. Two great prophets prophesied over a mighty move of God that's about to hit New Zealand, and also said that the church needs to wake up and be ready. So we've got a moment of time right now to stand up, to say, yes, Lord. There's two things I have in my heart regarding impartation this morning. One, and Noah, I'm going to put you kind of in charge of that area to start with. Those who know now that you feel God speaking to you, even as I've spoken to you, maybe even before now, I hope before now, that he's calling you up to another level of intercession and prayer. Noah, can I get you just to come and stand here? And we're going to, because the anointing, because the impartation was laid upon us to come up to another level of intercession and warfare, if you feel that on your heart, please come and stand in front of Noah and she'll lay hands on you and I will whistle when I'm finished. But I also feel there was another level of anointing and power that came upon the prophets. And prophets are being called up into the role of generals, into the role of nation shakers and shifters and changing history and decreeing things that God shows them in visions and dreams. And if you relate to that, if you're a prophet, if you have a prophetic bone in your body, I'm calling you forward right now, because I tell you what, God is saying, come up. It's like God saying, are you ready to enlist? I know you signed those enlistment papers a long time ago, but this is another call. These are serious days. And we cannot back out of fear, intimidation, or any other rubbish that the devil tries to land us on us. That's not who we are. He's calling us up because he sees us fit to be called up. Some of you need to let that settle in your heart right now. He's calling you up because he sees you're fit to fight. He sees you fit to fight. And don't you listen to the demonic stuff that comes around you that tries to make you small. This nation's atmosphere is full of that rubbish. You got to shake that off you. It's not who you are. That's not who you are. He sees you fit to fight. Now is the time. We're in the days of war. Now is the time. Every prophet or person with a prophetic bone in their body, raise your hands for me. God is calling you up. God is calling you up right now. There's a weightier mantle coming upon you right now. Even under the sound of my voice, there's a weightier mantle coming upon you. You are going to see clearer. You are going to feel the fire of God, the power of God come upon you. You're going to be taken into heavenly realms. You're going to see the destiny of nations. You're going to see things. You're even going to see, some of you are going to see government legislation that's being attempted or being written before it's written. And you are going to command, you are going to cancel it in Jesus' name. I see you even in the spirit taking a big rubber stamp and cancelling this illegal legislation that is going to try and come against families and come against marriages and come against the very backbone of society of New Zealand. You are going to be the cancel culture, because you are going to cancel demonic strategies and demonic plans. And I give you authority. I release that authority right now, a whole nother level, to take the ground, to take the ground in Jesus' name. I need some catches, please. And you'll need to move fast, probably.